It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. Joining us on Davin's Den, we have the creator of the show on Amazon TV, Comics Watching Comics, Kevin Gutee. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, everyone. Yeah, Kevin Gutee here. Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. So tell us a little bit about what your show is about.
Comics Watching Comics is a show. You take Last Comic Standing and Mystery Science Theater 3000, and bang, that's what you have. We take a bunch of intermediate comics, tape them doing their set at a comedy club in the city, and then we take the footage from their sets and we bring it to my house, and myself and other panelists watch the footage, and then we critique, we praise, we offer advice, tweak it, or if they're horrible, we give them the business.
If they're horrible.
At the end of every season, we pick a winner, and the twist is the home audience plays along. They're going to vote on Twitter for their favorite panelists that they want to see come back for the following season.
Oh.
Winning comic, like, yeah, thank you, yeah. And the winning comic gets a spot on a showcase in the city. We just had it at Gotham, in Gotham Comedy Club in the city in November, and that'll be on Amazon as well, so you get to see how that went down as well.
So how do the fans, like, pick the panels? Like, the one who's the nicest usually, or the nastiest? What have they been going for?
A lot of them are going for the mix. Like, a lot of them are going for, like, the ball busters, but the ones who have good advice in the process.
Okay.
Those are the type of folks we're seeing that are being picked.
So how'd you come up with the idea for this show?
One day I was at an open mic with a friend, I don't know, 4 years ago almost. And we were sitting through, and it was just such an awful crop of comics. We started texting each other stuff back and forth, just being mean assholes, really.
So being a comic.
This is fun, but this could be something, but you couldn't make a whole show out of it. You know, it's bad karma. So I said, you know what, Last Comic Standing is kind of boring, I think. I think it's just a one big ass-kissing fest. So let's do this a little bit differently and then have intermediate comics as the, performing, because, again, there's so many comics, not enough spots in the city, and just trying to get more exposure to intermediate comics. And that's how the show came to be.
So it sounds like where the show is really at its peak entertainment is when the comics are not particularly good.
It can be. I mean, it'll be one aspect of the show. I mean, the main focal point, of course, is to promote comics and get them more exposure. Some people do like that aspect. It's definitely part of the show. I think a lot of it too is a mixture of both, as well as when the panel, bust each other's balls. That's when the real fun starts, I think.
So now, in Last Comic Standing, the comedians would perform live, and then the judges would give their assessment live. From what I've seen, the judges are giving the comics are performing somewhere, it's videotaped, and then the panelists are giving their assessment. So how do the contestants find out what was said?
They watch the show, and then that's how they see how they're reviewed by the panel.
Have you do they get upset when some of the feedback is less than flattering?
Sometimes, yeah, and I invite every single comic on the show, whoever receives a good or a bad report, to make a video, and I'll air it unedited and put it on our YouTube channel. They can either, tell the panel to go fuck themselves, or they can say, hey, thanks for the opportunity, or they can say whatever they want. I give everyone that opportunity. A few people have taken me up on that, not very many at all. But
yeah.
I get the opportunity as the way for the comic to have the last
fuck
word.
Themselves. Yeah.
Sort of the Democratic rebuttal.
The Democratic rebuttal. A lot of people aren't going to pay attention, but it's there in case you're interested.
Yeah, I give them the final, the last out, exactly right.
See, then I'd like to see, and then the panelist puts up a YouTube video and go, well, here's why your rebuttal sucked.
This could be a never-ending, continuum of comics, watching comics, watching comics, watching comics.
It's like The Diner, but on YouTube. I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure. What's the most common piece of advice that the panelists are giving the contestants? Like, the one thing, most common critique when they're watching these intermediate comics, what's the most common thing that they say these comedians need to work on?
Oh, my God, there's so many. I'll tell you my pet peeve is when people stand right in front of the mic stand and don't move it out of the way. That drives me nuts.
Oh, that's a very rookie move.
Absolutely. You got to get that thing right out of the way immediately.
Sure.
Yeah, and a lot of people are using it as a crutch sometimes. They put their arm on it while they're doing a five-minute set. You're not doing an hour and a half, buddy. Move that thing out of the way.
That's a very good point. That's a great point, dude.
Although, in their defense, if you ask them how much time they have, they'll tell you they have an hour and a half.
So they want to show you what they're going to look like when they get there.
But, I mean, they really have, like, three to five minutes, as we all know.
What's the meanest thing a panel member said about one of these comics? Just something that was like, oh, my God, that's so brutal.
I would have to go back because I have plans for eventually one of these days when I stop with all these different things I'm working on. I want to release a comic, bunch of comics, DVD, like, too mean for TV thing. Mm-hmm. Where I'll show the panelists saying the meanest shit about people we had to cut, but I won't show them the comic that we were talking about. The meanest thing, I mean, some people have been flat out told to quit.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely horrible. They should quit.
I like this show.
That's valuable advice. I mean, if somebody would see some of these people that have been doing mics for 20 years, if somebody would just tell them to fucking quit, maybe they would have already.
Right.
Does the panel ever have, like, strong disagreements on the merits of a contestant where, like, a couple of panelists go, you know, this comic's really good, it's different, and the other panel's like, this is just pure horse shit. It's never going to work. Does that ever happen?
No, we don't have that much of a disagreement where we're like, this guy's awesome, and one person says, this guy sucks. Like, the only times we'll disagree, and I think we've went in overtime for, like, maybe three or four comics, it's like, some people will say, I like them, they're good, they're worth putting through to the final consideration, or some people are like, you know, they're good, but they're not good enough yet. Like, that's where the only real, the dissension will come in between the panelists. But so, it's not like night and day, like, oh, my God, it's split 2-2. Two people think they're great and two people think they're awful. Like, never like that.
So are newer comedians, like, submitting tapes to you, or are you seeing them live around the city? How's that working?
They submit. My rule of thumb is this. Actually, the submission window is open now. But you have to be in comedy for at least 3 years. The reason is this. I don't want to be the reason you quit comedy, because if you come out and you do, let's say you're a year and a half in, and you lie about being, you know, 3 years in, then you go out and you eat shit, which you probably will because, you know, only a year and a half in. Then again, there are the wonder kinds that come out of the gates insanely fast. But again, they're also the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be the reason that somebody quit because they came out too soon. My piece of advice is you can only benefit by waiting. There's no need to rush out. So, yeah, people will send me tapes, and I'll try and do my due diligence and find out how long they've been in. Have people snuck in under 3 years? Yeah. But a lot of them have been found out just by the sheer inexperience when we watched their set.
Okay. So where can people watch Comics Watching Comics?
Seasons 1 through 4 are free on Amazon Prime if you have it. Season 5 is like an iTunes, and all from here on out. It'll be like on an iTunes basis on Amazon Video, where you don't need to have Prime. You're just going to pay a price of, you know, for episode or for the season.
Very good. And you're working on that. You're working on season 6 right now.
Season 6 is shot and it is all done. It's just season 5 just came out a week ago Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving that time to get out there and for people to enjoy that. Then 6 is going to drop within I would say another month, and
okay.
Then after that will be the live show that, like I said, I mentioned before that we did at Gotham a few months ago in November.
Well, Kevin, thanks for joining the show. The show is Comics Watching Comics on Amazon. Check it out. See comics ragging on each other. See how vicious it really is in the back of any comedy club when there's new comics on and a bunch of veterans circling like sharks. It's kind of like that.
It can be, but also for the John Q publics who aren't comedy nerds like us, you know, it's just a way for us that we peel back the curtain and show you like how jokes are written and constructed and how they can help and all that. As well as, like, hey, people love panel shows, right? And that's what this is, with a mix of reality and a game show in there as well. So
very good.
For the non-comics out there.
Very good. Check it out. Kevin, thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. Good luck with the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, everyone. Nice talking to you guys.
Thanks for coming on, Kev. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You guys. Bye.
I mean, that could be really informative to for people who are new in comedy, but it also sounds sufficiently vicious for the people who love the, you know, the singing with the stars kind of shows where they show the people who can't sing auditioning, too.
I tell you, though, there was a couple of shows that when David and I would go in, and we would sit there. No,
we got cured of that right quick.
Those shows, you would go up. It's like a lottery system. And there's like 30 comics.
Yeah.
And we have to sit there. And him and I are getting impatient. And the acts absolutely.
Us?
Yeah. The acts are horrible. And we're just like ripping everybody apart.
Yep.
I'll never forget. There was one guy that goes up there, is up there. And he does this show. He goes, I'm a magician. I eat chicken and I turn it into shit. And then there's a piece of paper on the stool next to him. And he looks at it. And he shakes his head, and he throws the piece of paper behind him. And I tell Davin, I'll pay $1,000 for that piece of paper. I want to see what didn't make it into that act. Yeah.
What was that?
Too much. What couldn't have made it in there?
Too much. Not the right room for it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
you guys aren't good enough for this magic.
Yeah. No, I remember well the Barracuda tank that was sitting in the back of Rivera's a couple of nights.
No, I was always very nice to you. You just knew you sucked if I had a particularly loud laugh and nobody else was laughing.
Yes.
Do you know that the band, like, they have a very big jam thing on Sundays at Rivera's.
I love jam. Oh. Yeah. A little spare peanut butter.
You know,
nice.
Very big musician contingent goes there, and I've gone there to play, you know, with the band sometimes.
Really?
And I still walk into Rivera's as a musician, but I still slink my head low because I used to be a comic in there.
Yes. Tummy get upset like, oh, what am I in for?
This place is still brutal,
yeah. Yeah, the PTSD from the open mics there.
The big honor was closing the free show at Rivera's. Ooh. Oh, I'm closing. Oh, wait, Shorty just walked in. Listen, you're not going to close. It's Shorty.
Yeah.
Little fucking black guy who never wrote.
But I love Shorty, though.
Of course you did, because you're a moron.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's fine. Who cares? I could care less. But anyway, yeah, that's Rivera's. All right, so let's. We've had fun enough.
Let's get down to work.
Enough of that shit.
Roll up the sleeves, as they say on those Sunday morning news shows. Let's get to it. You know, I think Chris Cuomo says let's get after it on like the morning. Whatever the fuck he says, I don't know. So we got a great stat here. You know what? Here's the thing about being white. We are number one. We are number
one. Good night.
No, we are number one. In this case, it happens to be white supremacists have committed the most hate murders in the past year. But we're number one.
Yay.
Yay. We should have a parade right down the fucking middle of the town.
Yay, white people murdering.
The number of white supremacist murder in the United States more than doubled in 2017 compared to the previous year. You know what? Sometimes you got to realize you got to raise your game. Sometimes you realize we can be doing better.
We could be killing more people.
Right. Stop washing the sheets. Let's go. Let's get to it. So this far surpasses the murders committed by domestic Islamic extremists and making 2017 the fifth deadliest year on record for extremist violence since 1970. By the way, this study is by the Jewish Defense League, the ADL. What is that?
What was the American? I don't know what the ADL
stood. Anti-Defamation League. Read
that's
the article,
it.
Stupid. That's
I did, but
no,
I
was
forgot.
It was a collective stupid. Nobody had the answer.
Okay.
Anti-Defamation League. So they said white supremacists and other far-right extremists were responsible for 59% of all extremist-related fatalities in the U.S. in 2017, up dramatically from 20% in 2016. The most recent ADL data shows that over the last decade, a total of 71% of fatalities have been linked to domestic right-wing extremists, while 26% of killings were committed by Islamic extremists. The other 3% of deaths were carried out by extremists not falling into either category.
Well, it's interesting. I'm sorry, but they have a like kind of a graph, and they show the 3%, and they said left-wing extremism, which for the uninitiated kind of sounds like Democrats gone wild, and it's like no, that's not what the 3% means. They're uncategorized, and they said left-wing extremism, but it's,
well, that would probably be like, I guess if there was like a Black Panther or something.
Yeah,
Antifa hasn't killed anybody, but if they did. If Antifa killed them.
If they did, it would be in there. Right.
They're more for beating you up. They're not really for killing. They don't have a stomach for that. That's where they bow out. Let's see. So the 18 white supremacist murders included several killings linked to the alt-right as the move, as that movement expanded its operations in 2017 from the internet into the physical world. Yay! Yeah. Trolls come to life!
Yeah.
Raising the likely possibility of much more violent acts in the future. An Islamic extremist still committed the single deadliest incident in 2017. Not to be outdone!
No, of course not.
The New York City bike path vehicular homicide attack, which killed 8 people. I think we were on the air for that. I think that was like on Halloween, and you weren't here, and Joe and I were doing covering that one.
Yeah, that was on Halloween.
The report also noted a spate of killings in 2017 by black nationalists as a possible emerging extremist threat. Black nationalists were responsible for 5 murders in 2017, and this came on the heels of other violent incidents with black nationalist connections in 2016 and 14. I guess they had an off year 2015. Just took a vacation.
You know, well, there's always the possibility that there's going to be one extremist that hurts and kills a lot of people.
Yeah, well, they're
and
the
so
league
they
leader.
Bump the yeah,
you know that's
they bump the stats.
You want his rookie card, that's
right?
What you want.
But you know, I just heard this morning that there's a woman who's a family member. I don't remember which, it was husband or a child, was killed by that particular person with the van.
Person? Oh,
the van that
New York
in
oh,
New
really?
York, and that person has been pushing for there to be a new federal law making every time you want to go and rent a vehicle like that, like rent a van, that you have to, it has to go through the watch list before, instead of,
yeah,
they're
but
not just taking your credit card and
they're not
going to
put them on watch list. You can't get it for guns. Nobody, because they're afraid of government. They're not going to have it. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen in this climate.
Although, like, how many times do you have to have extremists borrow a van?
They're going to start screaming profiling.
Yeah.
You're profiling.
Yeah.
But I think it's something where most Americans would want it, but you get the lobbyists who wouldn't want it.
But you
want
to know something? You know, you bring up, well, they're going to look at you. They want to see this and your ID and look into you. I can't buy a can of spray paint at Home Depot without them wanting to see my ID.
Because they've had enough of the beach
motif. I'm an adult. What do you think?
They get it.
Fuck
enough
you in the water tower? I just want to paint a chair.
Enough with the fucking baby blue and the fucking brown for the sand. They're having an intervention. We get it. That's what that's about, Joe.
They're trying to stop you saving yourself.
So, Joe, you surprised about this information?
I really wanted to see the basics on, like, the
you see the bodies,
the actual breakdown on the areas that it was located in. Was more prevalent in the south, more prevalent in the north. You know, and the areas that it was in where there, you know, it's more susceptible to where race, like, you know, for argument's sake, Alabama.
I don't think it's
Georgia.
A regional thing. We got plenty of hate.
But that's what I think. You know, I'd like to see if that was basically...
But were you surprised that was right-wing extremists? Because, you know, usually I think in this country people are afraid of Islamic terror. That's the one people are normally voice their fear of. And
right.
Joe has voiced his fear of these violent left-wing groups and his opinion Antifa, which is
mm-hmm.
violent. I'll give him that, although they haven't mm-hmm. killed yet. And then he'll say Black Lives Matter, which I think is different. But Joe has always voiced the left-wing groups. And the right, I feel, doesn't talk about this. They don't want you to know.
Realize.
So I was kind of surprised because I think the right has done a good job of controlling that narrative.
Yeah, so that you don't realize that there are more right-wing extremists that are doing this.
So you were surprised.
I was surprised. I mean, I knew that there was, I know that the numbers are skewed and there's a lot of hyperbole about, you know, for example, how many Mexicans are coming over that the border.
20
that
in a Volkswagen.
That are actually, you know, involved in murders or rapes or things, you know. These statistics are showing that it's not as much as people are made to fear that is happening, you know?
No.
And the same thing with refugees. The numbers of refugees
well,
that are committing
crimes.
No,
this isn't just murder. No, these are hate crimes.
Right.
So like if a refugee commits a murder, not that I know of any, I don't think any have, but if a refugee commits a murder and it's not based on ethnicity or race or religion, it wouldn't fall into that. There was still a murder.
Yeah.
So
yes.
we're talking about where hate.
Specifically hate crimes.
These are specifically hate crimes.
Right. I think that, but people are worried about that. They're looking in that way. They're not looking at the homegrown terrorists.
Well, I think it's intentional that the right-wing media has created this narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's look, worry about radical Islam, worry about Black Lives Matter, worry about Antifa. Don't worry about the racist down the fucking street.
I wonder though what in each of these murders, what was the thing that made it listed as a hate crime.
Well, we had the one in on Halloween.
That's one.
The one in Charlottesville. I mean, these
that's
are
two.
I'm sure, you know,
and
what
I'm not, and like I said, I'm not being a wise ass.
Well,
in
the
you know.
All right, in the past it wasn't this past year, but in the past we had what was that, Dylan Roof, who walked into the church in South Carolina. I think when they have like a history, when they go back.
All right, yeah, let's talk. You know,
they look
let's
at their
talk
ideology.
About that.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible thing that you know we have it like that where the numbers might have been increased due to a mass murder,
like
you know,
one person
or you know more than one person. So you might look at this and go, "Oh my God!" And don't get me wrong, it's still horrible.
Yeah.
But if it's you know one, if it's all these different murders, like what are they saying, 34 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's 34, that's horrible. But was it like a murder where one guy took out five people, one guy took out three people? And like I said, my thing is this. It's not 37 people committing a crime. It's maybe 8 people committing a crime mm-hmm. like that.
But that's the same thing with Islam too.
I'm saying is mm-hmm. is that in the because you're like, oh my God, so there's 34 instances. Well, yeah, but it's you know 34 murders, but it was only 8 people, which is still you know which still is serious
enough. They can do enough damage.
But that's what I'm saying. But still, out of millions and millions of people. That's still a
I would agree
percentage.
With you. I would agree with you. Yet what happened on 9/11, what was it, 8 of them? 8 of them that did it on 9/11?
Yeah.
8. Yeah.
What happened on 9/11 caused an awful backlash against Muslims, which we still feel today in this country because of those 8 people. You actually made the argument I would make, Joe. You mm-hmm. actually made my argument. But yet you've said on this show on numerous occasions that the moderate Islamic community has to speak out against radical Islam.
Yes, yes.
So then I would go to you, okay, and they do, but maybe more, whatever. But then I would say to you, then moderate white people need to do more to speak out against white supremacists.
But here's the deal. If these 34 murders were part of, you know, one guy going in, you know, and killing 4 people, another
but
guy
that's
going
that's not in the trouble. Case. They're not talking about one incident.
Did they say it in this article?
They told they talked about the biggest incidents. They said that they did.
Like these are the biggest ones, but the other
ones—that's
why
they specifically said the one on Halloween was the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
But that took out a bunch. That took out
the majority of radical Islamic.
So it's
a
majority, but it was one guy. It's not like for all these murders,
right? But you've had that argument. I would say this: hey, it's one asshole. You're actually making the liberal argument,
right? And I know what you're getting at that. But so it's like one guy, and you can go out and go, "This what happened today?" Where a number of people go. This what happened to is awful, and it actually is. If it was 34 different situations,
I would say that's more of an epidemic,
right? So that's the key in the narrative of this.
You're
article.
Making my argument though, because you've been on the other side. I agree with you.
No, I understand that, but it's like in those murder. What was the percent? Was it was it a mass murder? What was this? Because that's a key thing,
right? But that's always been my argument. It's like, hey, don't paint all of Islam, and especially American Muslims. We've had this argument. Don't paint all of American Muslims because you had these assholes over here. I've always said, and you've always said, well, they gotta do more. Maybe we have to profile. Blah, blah, blah. Well, now I'm turning around to say, well, maybe white people need to do more.
Yeah.
So you see how ridiculous it is.
But what I'm saying is, if it was. You know, a couple of this horrible and stuff like
it's
you know,
a ridiculous argument to make. There's always going to be assholes.
But you know, it's 4 situations. So in every situation, you go, oh my God, that's awful. We got to do it. Oh my God. But if it was 34 different situations, now we really this is awful. But
here's what I would tell you: that there was more incidents of white people. Now there are more white people in this country,
right?
So that makes sense. But in this last year, there was more incidents of white people doing something than of Muslims doing something. We know this because white people still committed the most deaths, mm-hmm. but a Muslim still committed the most in one incident.
Right.
Now the situation, I don't know how I don't even think they figured out how to classify it yet. Las Vegas, that shooting.
I don't think that's a hate crime. I don't think it's good.
But the funny thing is I wonder how they're going to classify.
We'll find
that.
Out. Then the whites are really. Shoot up. I don't think. Well, that was a bad term.
Yes.
But no, I that was not used for this study because then the total, I think,
because they
been
don't know how to, they haven't defined it yet. They don't,
right.
They
right.
Don't have not.
But it's interesting. Now that we've had this conversation, I feel like you finally see what I've been telling to you for years. It's ridiculous to pin a whole people because there's a few bad actors. That's the conversation you and I have been having for years, and I feel like now that you see it on the other foot, you're like, well, let's not blame all white people for that. And I agree with that. I agree with that. So it's like I'm saying the same thing. Let's not blame all Muslims because we got a few that are radicalized and assholes. Let's figure out how to stop these people. Let's figure out how to get into these communities and make sure that whether they're white, black, Muslim, left, right, whatever, they don't get radicalized.
Right. If you're going to look at everybody who is a Muslim and say, oh, that's a potential terrorist, well, then why don't we just extrapolate and say that everybody in the South
is a
potential
terrorist?
Yeah,
but there's more to it than that. Basically, a lot of Muslims are not assimilating into the culture.
That's not true.
It is true. It's absolutely true.
Well, a lot of it Koreans are not true. assimilating into the culture.
Based on assimilating into the culture and assimilating into Western culture.
Are you talking about in this country?
Yeah. And especially in England.
Well, no, I'm talking about America.
All right. In America, especially in America.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is.
You got to give me a stat. You got to give me examples.
But you know, any new immigrant group that comes en masse, they do tend to stay in their own communities and everything.
Everybody's
always
done
that.
Before
they start to assimilate.
That happened
yeah.
in the city. The Irish, the Italians, the
right.
Jews.
Everybody has a neighborhood. They have a community.
They stay within their own and then they eventually branch out. The Muslims are actually very good at assimilating. They're fucking doctors.
Yeah, they're actually like too new as a large influx of people to be able to make a statement like they're not assimilating. Well, you know, a lot of people have. I mean, I can name
most of them have. Yeah. Most people who come here assimilate, especially within a couple of generations.
It takes a couple of generations.
You can't expect that first generation coming from wherever they are to like speak perfect English and to be all the way with the
country. At least try.
Well, we're not saying they don't show. They come here because they want to be part of it. But usually it's their kids that
they start to assimilate.
Because they're in our schools.
Right.
And then by the third generation, you can't even tell.
Right. The biggest influx of one particular country immigrants in the area that I used to live in New Jersey, was Korean. And you could see that a lot of the first generation Korean people.
A lot of that in Bergen County.
Yeah, a lot of first-generation Korean people did not learn the language right away.
They don't even want you in their neighborhood.
Well, I don't want you in my house.
But then the kids are going to the public schools and they're assimilating. And now I'm finding from my own nephews that a lot of their friends are Korean kids. You can't judge by generation one.
Because we see so many people, even in government, who came here on both sides of the aisles, whose parents came here as immigrants, and now they're congressmen or whatever. And their parents could barely speak English, and they didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
It takes some time. You know, if I dropped you off in Scotland and say there was a different language, I drop you off in Scotland at age 21 and they don't understand English. It's going to be hard for you to adapt. You're going to try.
I make every attempt, but there are a lot of people that don't.
You're going to make your way to the Italian ghetto in Edinburgh, and you're going to stay with them, and your kids are going to come out with a burr and be trotting along being Scots from day one. But
now, we need more police in the black communities. We need more police in these Muslim communities. Maybe we need more police in the white communities. maybe we got to start exporting white people because that's why we got to export these people, send them back to where they came from. That's how ridiculous these arguments are.
I was just looking at you like, what?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh,
but
okay.
But those are the arguments
yeah.
that we hear.
Yeah.
And they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that the people that support hating on Muslims or immigrants or whatever the hell it is or leftists
one big group.
Yeah.
Painting with the widest brush possible.
You don't like it when it's turned back on you.
Right.
That's the problem with it. So I'm glad this stat came out.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting, and I am surprised about it.
Now, I do believe that Donald Trump has had an effect on this trend. I don't believe Donald Trump has made people more racist. I don't believe that at all.
I think it emboldened them.
I feel like, and we've seen this, by the way, a lot of the white supremacists rally around him. They figure, we can come out now. And we've had this conversation before. Did you like it better when they hated Obama, but they knew they couldn't say it in public? or they could say it in public, but not the real reasons, for instance? Or now we're like, well, he's just saying what I'm saying. So he's saying what everybody says. And I go, no, he's not. We're not all racist assholes. So I feel like Trump has had an effect on it. I think that's why we see such a jump in 2017. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2018, and I feel like the president could have if he was more forceful after Charlottesville. I mean, he eventually got to what he was supposed to say, and then he went back on it. I mean, which drove everybody in his party nuts for the most part.
Yeah, and outside of his party.
And when Trump retweeted those stupid things from that Islamophobic group from England.
Oh yeah.
you know, he emboldens the shit. They look at him and go, we finally got one in the White House. And that's something that Trump supporters who don't feel that way, that's something they have to deal with. That's the reality of it. You might not think Trump's a racist. I've said I do, and I didn't always say that about him. But I've come around and go, I think he is racist, but, which is a fairly new admission for me. I didn't think that. But if you're not a racist and you support Trump, you do have to understand that he emboldens people who are racist. And that's something that if you're not a racist person and you happen to support Trump, you have to reconcile that with yourself.
Yeah.
Which I would say if you're not a racist and you support the president, then you need to hold him accountable.
Right.
You need to respond on it.
But you know what? I also feel in the same way that Eric Holder and Obama made an environment where it was okay to hate cops.
Yeah, but we're going to have this conversation next week.
But
I want an example. I want an example. I don't want a feeling. I want an example. And you're going to have a week to do it because we're going to have an African-American, Kevin Lee, comedian, and we're going to have our buddy, retired detective from the Bergenfield Police Department, Dave Daugherty, here. So you are going to have that, and I know police have that, so I am giving you a week to find an example of that, so you can't complain that you're unprepared. Fair enough?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Because I have a feeling Kevin's going to have a different opinion. Dave may agree with you, and I would challenge Dave the same way because I hear it a lot. I go, give me an example. Don't give me a feel. Give me an example. And I was actually having a different conversation about Trump on my Facebook. And it's like, a high school friend, he's like, no, we're just giving facts. I go, no, I'm giving you actual events that actually happened. You're telling me you feel like he feels that he's an innocent guy and everybody against him. I go, that's not a fact.
That's a feeling.
That's a feel. That's your opinion of how you think he feels. Yeah. I'm giving you case after case of case that we can all look to. I'm not giving you spin. I'm giving you things that actually happened, things that he actually said or did.
Mm-hmm.
I go, you can't do analysis that way. So that's why I'm giving you the opportunity.
Fine.
Okay. Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right. So, but we all agree this is bad.
Yeah. I don't think that, any homegrown terrorism is good.
Now we go to a segment called I Hire the Best People.
Oh, boy. Oh,
listen, with all the firings, I don't think anybody's buying that before.
No, but this guy.
I feel like the liberal guy on Fox News.
Tonight you are. You've had,
I forgot his name.
One of them died. Alan Combs died, but now it's like the Puerto Rican.
There was an African-American guy.
I thought he was Latino. With a mustache. Juan something. I don't know.
I don't know, but I feel bad for him some nights.
Oh, yeah. It's like, how fat is that paycheck?
I feel like most nights here.
You feel like me at the compound.
Yes. Well, it's funny. When we went on that one day, I'm like,
But the shit I'm saying, I mean, this is concrete stuff. So if you defend it, I'm going to say right now, you're an asshole. Because the things that these aren't feel things that could go either way. These are actual things. So if you defend it, you're an asshole,
well,
in my opinion.
It's like looking like with the 18, white supremacist murders, just looking into it. And like I said, just making the case to look into
you
why.
You can do that too.
Yeah.
If you want to come back with more about this now, more in depth next week will certainly be the forum for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can have that conversation as well. Absolutely. All right. So I hire the best people. So apparently.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. So part of the Trump administration was Carl Higbee. He was appointed the Corporation for National Community and Service in 2017 to direct the public image and messaging of the federal department that manages millions of Americans and volunteer services like AmeriCorps and Senior Corps.
I don't remember ever hearing about this guy before.
He helped a lot on the Trump campaign, apparently.
Okay, but do you remember hearing about him before this? Broke?
No, well, no, but I'm not looking for him.
No.
So a lot of shit came out.
Oh,
and he resigned.
God,
so here's
yes.
the apology. I'll get more into what he was doing, and then we'll go through some of the lovely things he said.
Yes.
Higbee tweeted an apology after he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody forced him out, although they probably – I was – you know what? I don't know if they would have. Not with this. I don't know. I would like to think they would have, but I'm not going to take that leap. Pip can if she wants. Joe can if
he read
want.
The sign on the wall. I think it's an uh-oh.
He goes, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that my words were published. I am sorry that I said them in 2013. By the way, very good part of an apology right there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Those words do not reflect who I am or what I stand for. I regret saying them. Before I go on, he said a lot of fucking words. I kind of think they do reflect who he is.
I think they reflect who you are, buddy.
It's not just one or two bad days.
No.
I think if you keep on doing something, it's kind of your thing.
And it wasn't a phrase. He like would say it and then double down.
You know what? Like a guy who gets arrested 9 times for masturbating in public, and he goes, "It's not really who I am." No. You're a chronic public jerker. That's who you are. Let's own it. I don't apologize for coming on your leg. I apologize that I came at all. I get it. It's a fine apology, but you still are what you are. You know, we can't back away from that.
I know, really.
Last night I informed the White House that I was resigning so as not to distract from POTUS. Many success. So he tweeted his apology. #NoExcuses. Excuses. Always love an apology with a hashtag. All right. So CNS was formed in 1993. It connects volunteers with service opportunities, often in the neediest areas across the country. According to the organization's website, the projects are mainly focused on 6 priority areas: disaster services, economic opportunity, education, environmental stewardship, healthy futures, and veterans and military families. Sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it sure does.
Sounds like a lot of good shit can be done if it's done right.
Yes.
All important things, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Joe's in trench. He digs in as we go through these. He goes, man, the battle station.
I'm sorry if I'm paying attention to the topic we're discussing live on a show.
How dare you, sir?
You know, usually I would go on other shows. People are sitting on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out, tweeting. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm engrossed in the topic we're discussing.
As he puts, on his armor and decides, shall he be jousting or sit quietly and nod?
Okay. Or is it a defensive posture I want?
So we're gonna go through some of the shit he got caught doing on internet radio.
Oh, God.
Some his own show, some other people's show.
Something that'll probably bite us in the ass.
No, not at all. Not at all. I stand by everything awful thing I've said. There it is. Isolate that. So this is Higby. I told this story the other day on my show. Somebody who lives in my condo association that has 5 kids, and it's her and her husband with the 5 kids, and the mother, the grandmother of the kids, and they don't have jobs. They're there all the time. Well, where are you going to fucking go if you don't have a job? You don't want them fucking loitering, then you get pissed off of that too. I bet you can guess what color they are, and they have no job, he said. Joe, would you want to play Guess What Color?
I say black.
Oh, I say that's a fucking racist thing to say. You should not have said that.
Yeah, that was not the answer.
No, Joe, that was absolutely the fucking
wrong. But
who
were they then?
So you agree with this fucking sentiment?
No, who were they?
I'm thinking he was guessing about black people. I'm just disturbed that you guessed black. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm disturbed. That's where I'm saying. You should say, well, what did he say? You were right on that, though, with black. So.
I know. It's like, black people!
Because, see, Joe, listen, well, he's on point so far. No, Joe. No. Wrong answer. Speaking on the Sound of Freedom in December 2013, Higby, while recounting a time he placed an advertisement to give away free firewood, said, the black race had lax morals. He added that black women think breeding is a form of government employment.
Oh, ouch.
Anything to add to that?
In some instances, in some of the community, there's a welfare environment.
It ain't just black people.
But still.
It ain't just black people. It's not just black people.
Right.
Actually, according to welfare statistics, white people get more welfare than black people.
But there is a contingent in those situations.
Right, but the problem is that you and this guy went right to black. That's the problem. That's the racist shit. You're assuming the worst of people. That's the shit that's racist.
Okay, mm-hmm. Take a trip in Newark and then drive around.
I go to Newark all the time. I used to work in fucking Newark.
Take a trip in Utah. There are a whole lot of white people.
Go to fucking Alabama. Go to Mississippi. Go to Louisiana. There's plenty of poor white people that have 10 kids and no fucking job. Mm-hmm. That's everywhere. It's usually the red states that get the most welfare. That's the reality. The blue states pretty much pay for the white states. California is the 5th biggest economy in the fucking world. Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and that's a big old blue state.
Mm.
Anyway, only one person was actually cordial to me, Higby said. Every other black person was rude. They wanted me to... See, I wouldn't have a problem if he said, like, everybody was rude. I'd be like, right there with you. But why are you adding black? I mean, because there's plenty of rude white people.
That's not the defining characteristic.
They wanted me to either load the wood, completely split it for them, or some sort of, you know, assistance in labor. Again, you know, this is a story that could be on the show, but yeah. It doesn't have to be black people.
Or, you know, extrapolate from this one instance that, you know what, that means that equals all black people are rude. All black people want me to do the
work. No, you know what
them.
It is?
You know,
all like... people that showed up for free shit. How about that? How about that? Yep. Chances are, which, by the way, is very ballsy. I've shown up for free shit, too. I've never asked anybody to do the work for
no.
me.
No. Oh, my God.
I've helped
no.
people that have come here asking for free shit, but I would be yeah. taking aback if they expected me to do it. But I wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't base that on race. I'd base that on people showing up for free shit.
Yeah.
That's how I would base it. Now, mind you, the ad was for free firewood. Come take it all you want. And I believe that this translates directly into the culture that is breeding this welfare and the high percentage of people on welfare in the black race. It's a lax of morality. Again, no. Now, Joe's nodding in agreement. It's
I'm not nodding in agreement. On that one, that's generalizing on an opinion that he had.
So you think that's wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That yeah, I, you
Glad
know,
you clarified.
I'm on that. That could be that his opinion. I don't. It due to a situation that he experienced. I wasn't there to see it. I can't comment on it.
Yeah. Well, and he's taking his one experience and his opinion on it and saying, well, this is true of all these people.
Right. Where I would say this is true of these people who showed up for free shit. It would be a you stink on this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think I could extrapolate the whole fucking race, because that means you only encounter lazy black people, and that's just not the reality of it.
Well, let's just saying, if this was the case where he's making his decision, if he had white people there that were taking this stuff, and the black people that came expected him to do stuff, that's where he was getting that opinion.
Or
of.
He's completely.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Or he's completely full of shit, and this fits his little narrative.
That's why mm-hmm. I'm taking a neutral stand. I don't know.
He goes on. We're promoting birth control to a black woman because of the incredibly high rate of children born out of wedlock that are undercared for or not cared for at all. Now, before earlier, he was bitching about this black family that was all living together.
Yes.
That were not born out of wedlock. He was bitching about those black people. So he's bitching about the black people that do have, and even have grandma living with them,
right.
Have like a strong nuclear family. Now he's bitching about other black people. I think he has a problem with black people.
I'm getting that feeling.
The taxpayers are tired of supporting government checks going to these people who think that breeding is a form of employment. It is what it is. White people do it too.
Yeah. Well,
Latinos do it too.
But in the black community, there is a high instance of no father figure, no father, the single mothers.
But I invite you to have this conversation with Kevin next week. Kevin would say, well, that's because our men are getting incarcerated for stuff that white people don't get incarcerated for.
But why is that? What is that? I mean, it just obey the law.
It's going to be a fun week next week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun week next week. I just explained to you that black people get incarcerated for things that white people don't get incarcerated for.
But just obey the law. What are they getting incarcerated for? And I even asked Kevin, what were they getting incarcerated for? We had to come back from a break, so we didn't answer. It's not like he didn't
you
want to answer.
You weren't here when Kevin was here. You weren't here when Kevin was here.
I was too.
No, you weren't. You were out that week. It was me and Pip. You weren't here. He wasn't here. You've never been in studio with Kevin.
Yeah, I have.
No, you haven't. Kevin was sitting right there. He's been on the show once.
And I was sitting right there. No. And Pip wasn't here.
No, pretty sure you were out. I think you had to do your business thing.
No, I think Pip was out.
Well, Pip can check.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm sorry if black people are the majority of the targeted audience. They are statistically, they are. You're going to have to show me some fucking statistics, you know, before you start spouting shit like that out.
What do you mean?
I'm saying him. Oh. Yeah, well, I'm saying these guys going statistics. And I would say the same thing to you. Mm. So next week.
Because it is a statistic.
Well, you can bring next week you are fully capable of becoming fully prepared with everything that you want to have. The whole African-American thing gets me whipped up because it's like 99%, and I'm paraphrasing here, you think, of people who write down African-American have never been to Africa, Higby said. So barring dual citizenship, you're American or you're African, but you're not both. I don't care what you think. That's another thing that just sets me off. Now, I understand the outrage of this, but let's bring that out to everybody. You have Italian-Americans, Irish-Americans, mm-hmm. Jewish-Americans. I'm fine with, hey, we're fucking Americans.
Yeah.
I'm fine with getting the hyphen out of there and saying we're all Americans. And I get that.
I get
that. We're
too.
Like a country that likes to do that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Most countries don't do that. Yeah. But again, he's just targeting black people. That's the problem.
Yeah, that he gets really
upset
about.
Most Irish Americans have never been to Ireland.
And you know what? When people from, quote, Irish Americans go to Ireland and they say they're Irish, the Irish smile at them and go, yeah, sure
it's
you
the
are.
Same thing with Italian Americans.
Sure you are.
Yeah, Jersey Italian Americans are different than Italian Italian. I know this because I've lived in Jersey and I've been to Italy. Not the same fucking thing. You don't have people beating the beats in the middle of fucking Rome. The situation isn't ambling down the road. And they actually did the Jersey Shore in Italy, and they were not well received.
They're not, because they don't look at them as Italians. They're Americans.
They look at them as assholes.
So, asshole Americans. Higbee has about... That's the new hyphenate, asshole Americans.
Well, there's plenty of those. So Higbee has a point here, but he goes all racist with it.
Yeah, he does.
That's the problem. I was called an Islamophobe, and I was like, no. I'm not afraid of them. I don't like them. Big difference. He's got a point. He's got a point.
All righty then.
And they were like, well, you're racist. I was like, fine. If that's the definition of it, then I guess I am.
I'm not going to argue with you, sir.
No agreement here.
No.
I mean, disagreement. No. Stupid. No. Go back to your Muslim shithole. Hey, was this guy a speechwriter? Go back to your Muslim shithole and crap in your hands and bang little boys on Thursday nights. Why does it got to be Thursday night? See, that's what happens when Friends and Seinfeld goes off the air. You know, you don't have must-see TV, you're banging little boys.
Yeah, Wednesday's usually. Well, no.
Tump night, I say. Yeah. Now, they do. They are not fond of the toilet paper as we are in this country.
Right.
But the Muslims here, as far as I can tell, they are pro-toilet paper. I just don't like Muslim people. That makes you a racist, sir. People always rip me a new one for that because they're not racist.
Right.
Cole, you're a racist. You can't. You're sexist. I'm like Jesus Christ. No, he was not.
I'm like Jesus Christ. No.
I'm like Jesus Christ. I just don't like Muslim people because their ideology sucks. Joe, care to defend that?
That's his opinion.
No, but would you say he's not racist?
There's
a hesitation.
No, because basically, if he doesn't like them, he doesn't like them because of their ideology. Is that being racist?
Well, when you're saying they all come from shitholes and they crap in their hands and they bang little boys on Thursday nights, when you're lumping everybody in with that, yes, Joe, that's being racist. When you hate somebody based on their race or their ethnicity or their religion, you can usually put an it or an ist at the end of it, because you're not judging people for the content of their character.
But maybe he was a soldier, and I believe if he was in those countries and saw it, he formed his opinion
and his
of
opinion.
The society of he saw, that he saw there, and that, you know, and he's just stating his opinion, and maybe it, if he's stating his opinion from something he experienced in the Muslim countries, it's not being a racist. It's his feeling about something. Where being a racist, you just don't like it, and you don't have any, you know, concrete terms why you do. He's giving a concrete term why he does hate them.
I think he's giving an opinion of some that he experienced.
Yeah,
I don't. So you're telling me, Joe, that he was watching little boys get banged on Thursday nights, because that's what he said.
He might have seen.
Now we know in Afghanistan that they are. We just were watching. They are banging little boys. So, yes. But I would say
on Thursday nights.
I think it varies.
I think it's sometimes Saturday.
He's being a deist.
And you blame Trump for making up words.
I made up cuntsucker last week. I can make him up too.
I like day is better. It flows better.
But you could say I hate those people over there that I saw doing this. Then you're holding those people personally accountable for the behavior that you find repugnant. It's when you bring it onto a whole race or religion that we have problems. So if I saw a guy banging a boy on a Thursday night, I would go, I hate that motherfucker.
Right.
I wouldn't take it out to go, I hate all Muslims. I would go, no, I hate that one, and this is why. Yeah. And then we could argue and go, well, it's a cultural thing. I'd still go, it might be a cultural thing. I fucking hate that aspect of the culture. Yeah, we could have that conversation.
Right. I mean, you know, with any group, if it's a homogenous group, and there is some behavior that some of the people in that group did. You know, okay, so, you know, some people have cockfights, and you can't stand the
what we do between what him and I do but during the break is
look away, woman.
I can't. I have to watch. I have to watch.
Well, then you're part of the problem.
say that you have people there, you know, have. You know, they have cockfights and they gamble on it, and you know these animals are getting killed and ripped apart and everything. And you saw that, and you're like, "That's disgusting. That's reprehensible behavior. I hate those guys that were doing that." Well, say that they were all, I don't know, Turkish. So now all Turkish people are scumbags because some of them,
right?
You know,
if you're in that environment for a while, like, and I'm like just saying, I'm the devil's advocate.
You most certainly are. This guy seems like a devil, and you seem to be advocating.
No,
for him.
I'm just saying. You know, you're asking me if he's a racist, and if he was in. Exposed to this situation because he was a soldier, and I, and if going under the auspices that he was in country, seeing all this stuff, you could see where he's forming
but
this opinion.
But here's where the opinion falls off. Because I was there, embedded in these platoons are Muslims that are helping us.
Yeah.
So now he's painting all those people that are probably keeping
but
him alive.
You know what though? It's and like I said, it's based on what you saw. And what he saw.
No, what I'm telling you is that there are Muslims embedded with the troops. I'm telling you that. That's indisputable. So what I'm saying is these Muslims that kept him alive, helped keep him alive, because that's the reality. That's why they're there. He's painting them with the same brush as the people who I would say he's got a right to hate. That's the problem with his line of thinking.
Yeah, yeah, well, everybody.
Right, exactly. Well, people are like, well, you can't hate somebody just for being Muslim, Higby added. It's like, yeah, I can. Do you hate people who rape little boys? Yes, I hate rapists.
Yeah.
I don't hate everybody.
Like, I hate pedophiles.
Like hate Larry Nassar, the doctor, the former doctor from Michigan State and the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
I don't hate all white guys. I don't hate all doctors. I hate that guy because I'm smart and I realize not everybody of that race or that profession is that guy.
Right, right.
Just it doesn't take too much intelligence to do that. Anyway, they say, oh, of course, they're just terrible people. Well, yeah, most Muslims believe that that to have sex with men is okay, which I don't like it at all. First of all, that's not true. That's not because on the same token, like, oh, that all they think it's okay to have to be gay. And they're like, well, they're the ones that are throwing gay people off a building. Well, which the one is it? Is it okay to be gay or they throw one off the building? Which what broad brush are you painting him with?
Yeah, you see people culturally, you know, men holding hands. That doesn't make them gay. What are you talking about?
A little gay.
No.
Gay
no.
Light.
No.
Now, I'm going.
The skipping is what did
I'm
it.
I'm going, like I said. Fair enough. Basically, I'm analyzing everything paragraph by paragraph.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Now, Davin and I just got in the debate of the previous paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
On this paragraph, he's wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It kind of defends what Davin was saying in the paragraph before. And that's why I'm prefacing it with I'm going paragraph by paragraph. So,
right.
Yeah, I will debate with you on the previous paragraph. However, you did kind of prove your point on this paragraph where he did call. Well, people like you can't hate somebody for just being Muslim. Higby added, it's like, yeah, I can't. Well, I can't. And that's wrong.
Right.
You know what?
And that's wrong.
The Muslims shouldn't get all the attention of Higby's hate. He's got enough hate to go around.
Oh, he sure does.
So let's move on to other hate. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say a lot of people are going to disagree with this comment. Higby said on Sound of Freedom. Is this what freedom sounds like? Fucking lock me up.
Oh.
February 2013. But severe PTSD, where guys are bugging out and doing violent acts, is a trait of a weak mind.
Now, stop right there. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. Sorry. But I think that, and he, as we go, I'm going to let him finish. I think he might suffer from PTSD.
Oh, I don't disagree. I this guy's got something wrong.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and I read on, Macbeth.
Okay. I really don't want to add Shakespeare to
should
hate
be lead on, Macbeth, but it's read on.
Where out thou racists and Muslims and
a fine job you've doing it. I picked the right
little boy, spread ye ass.
Oh God, no.
I'm gonna show you some long hard class.
Oh man. Could
Joe's doing a little Shakespeare ass raping sonnet for us.
Yes, sir.
Oh no. No.
Now, things like military member Brandon, where he was legitimately blown up and a loud noise makes him on edge, completely understandable. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a plan.
But when someone performs an act of violence that is a, it's a weak mind, that is a crazy person, and the fact they're trying to hide it behind PTSD makes me want to vomit. He doesn't understand.
He, it's really strange that he doesn't understand. He's claiming that 75% of the people with PTSD.
Well, that's the next paragraph.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but he said that in the first paragraph of this. But the thing is that
No, he did. No, that was a summary.
Yeah. Okay. The summary. But that's the problem is that you're just flying off the handle and saying, "Yeah, I don't think you really have it."
He's the judge and jury.
He's basing this on what?
Well, not only he is the judge and jury. I believe he's actually his opinion on Muslims and how he's assembling them might be a little bit of PTSD because, as I said previously,
possible.
That he might have formed his opinions on what he saw going on there and assembling against.
And I get the hate, I get it. But if you see a lot of horrible things, I get coming back and hating. But at some point, somebody's got to talk to you. Go, man, and it sounds like people were trying to tell him,
"Yeah,
this is not
like,
right."
No.
At some point, you got to do the work to get yourself back to even.
Mm-hmm.
I understand coming back and hating them. I get it. They saw a lot of awful shit. That's the enemy. I get it. The black stuff, no, but I get it as far as. But you got to come back to earth to us if you want to function in our society.
Yeah, it's like I get how you got there, but you need to be fixed. You're not thinking right.
Right. So he continues. I'd say 75% of people with PTSD don't actually have it, really, doctor. And they're either milking something for a little extra money, again with the money, in disability, or they honestly are just lying. He said this in 2014 as a guest on an internet radio show, not my fucking show. 25% legitimately do have problems. They have bad dreams. They can't cope. They have problems with noises and things like that. And I really think there are people that cannot deal with the stress of combat, and some people can. So, and he goes on, what's so wrong with wanting to put up a fence and saying, hey, everybody with a gun, if you want to go shoot people coming across our border illegally, you can do it for free. And you can do it on your own. It's like a turkey hunt. And you'll be under the command of the, you know, National Guard unit or Border Patrol. I think stick a fence 6 feet high with signs on it, both in English and Spanish. And it says, if you cross this border, this is the American border. You can cross it and we're going to shoot you.
In the face.
That's the next. Let me fucking.
I'm sorry.
You're going to get shot in the face with a fucking load.
Oh, nice.
See, I'm a happy man.
I didn't even have to cross a border to get there.
You cross my border, I'll shoot you in the face, Pip. He looks. He'd be at it. I'll go down there. I'll volunteer to go down there and stand on that border. I don't know, a week or so at a time. And that'll be my civil duty. I'll volunteer for. You're going to shoot children. You're going to shoot fucking people. That is law and order now. We are just going to indiscriminately shoot people. We're not going to capture them. We're not going to send them back like we've been doing. We're not going to hold them. We're not going to find out the deal. We're just going to let a lot of yahoos go down there and fucking fire away.
Yeah, he's got to relax. Yeah.
Oh, you don't agree with this.
Huh?
You don't agree. I didn't know how you were going to come down on this one.
Well, yeah, of course I don't agree with this. You're going to turn the border to Dodge City?
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
Like a shooting gallery. You're hitting little ducks.
We got Border Patrol. Let them
okay.
do the job.
But he'll do it for free. He's worried about the money again, Joe.
He actually sounded gleeful about going down to do it.
Awesome. Well, because he came back from war. This guy wants to shoot.
Yeah, but he doesn't have PTSD. No, not this guy. No.
Nothing gets me going like Ted Cruz. Go on. When he went off on that Feinstein bitch about the Second Amendment, and he put her in her place, Higby said. That was just fantastic. I can't stand that woman. She's another one. Her and Pelosi. I love to just take both their heads and smack them together a couple of times. Would you? It's a little strong.
Well, I do understand, like, politically
I
getting
get
so
it.
Frustrated
well, I hate
with
those two
somebody.
Dames myself.
Yeah, I get it. Know. I get it. I mean, but Ted Cruz, I mean, that's unforgivable. I get it. You hate Pelosi and Feinstein. I get it. But to like Ted Cruz, that's unforgivable.
Yeah, no.
That might be the most egregious error of them all.
That was horrible.
Yeah,
that's a little much.
I can understand the hatred of the other two, but the like of the one, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't like, I hate him.
All right, we all agree.
Yeah, we all agree.
Lying Ted.
Yeah. just yucky Ted. Oh, and here we go.
What?
Next one.
Oh, okay. Rhode Island, land of more liberals. I believe that's on the sign when you come in.
On the sign. Actually, that's on their license plates.
Yes, it is. Has just okayed gay marriage, Higby said. Congratulations. You suck, Rhode Island. Why would you do that? Go ahead and twist the knife a little bit more. I mean, you're breaking the morals, the moral fiber of our country. You know, I don't like gay people. I just don't. I talk about this in my book, and there's not too many spelling errors, you know. No, I added that. I just don't think he's probably a good
following along. I go, he wrote a book.
Like, no, he did write a book. He did write a book. I added the spelling error.
Okay, because I'm saying he wrote a book.
Yeah, that's the right reaction.
He's going with it.
And he admits the spelling errors?
And I don't like, and I can't say, and in my butt, in your book.
I'll read it without my
editor. Really don't like gay people in my fucking book.
I'll continue that. I'll talk about this in my book. You know I was. I was molested by a gay guy when I was a young kid, and that kind of set a precedence for me. So I just don't really care for them. You know what? You want to be gay? Fine. Do it over in your own corner, the gay corner.
The gay corner. Well, pretty a very tastefully done corner, though.
It would be.
A little bigger than a closet.
What is this, velvet?
If I was president of the United States, I wouldn't make laws saying you can't be gay, because I believe that's your right. So go over there. Be gay. Don't march down the middle of the street in your drag outfits being fairies and things like that. And your Tinkerbells there.
Hey, you got me marching in your fairies.
You can't do a good Mr. Roper. Be a good one.
Don't. Just to be technical, I think basically his facial expressions.
That was what made him.
Yeah, but he did the little Tinkerbell thing, too.
But his gesticulations and his facial expressions.
Joseph, have you been studying SAT words?
That was a nice one.
That was very impressive. Going into the domain of Helix over there. Yes. Very nicely done. Don't throw it in my face. I told you I was going to blow it in your face. Don't throw it in my face. Don't make me like it, because I do it on your own. Do it over there and let it be your thing.
Where? Oh, in the gay corner.
Yeah, in the gay corner.
You know what, though? I'll give him a pass on this one because he was molested.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Because you can't sit here and tell
me.
Well,
no, my ass hurts. It was over in the gay corner.
That's funny. Oh, but you can't sit here and tell me on Muslims. Well, I don't care what he experienced, but not all Muslims are like that. And you know, and I'm saying, well, it was from what he experienced. That's not a reason.
Why?
And you can't. And it was what he experienced. You know.
Listen, I don't think it's right, but I think this is more traumatic.
But
yes,
I think this. I think actually being violated is more traumatic than actually watching somebody be violated.
But you know what? I think in the traumatic way, forming very negative opinions. I think it's both the same.
I don't think it's the same. I don't think this is good, but I think there's a difference. I don't.
But
like
he just extrapolated from all gay people.
Welcome to Big Word Tuesday.
We're not even sure. Big Word Tuesday.
Give you that one.
Well, the thing is, we just decided.
Much different than Name That Orgasm Tuesday.
This is what you get, folks. Very different from week to week.
Very different.
You know, some weeks you get politics, some weeks you get cum. Yeah.
Many weeks you get both. It's just like being in politics.
Anyway, well, he just threw it in your face.
We're the Stormy Daniels of radio.
Funny. Write that down.
That might be it right there.
Oh my god.
We'll be shaking our little tush. Anyway.
What I was saying before we went into the vocabulary lesson is you can't say one person, and we don't even know if that was a gay person who molested him, but let's just say they were. That one person who molested him, and that's a terrible thing that happened to him. But you can't say that makes every other gay person a molester, that you should go off in a corner. He doesn't like them all.
But he's actually like, okay, be gay. He's actually more tolerant to the gays than the Muslims and the blacks.
Be gay, but I don't want to see it.
Well, nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to see it.
It's like, be gay.
I don't
want to
see most people fuck either.
No,
I don't want to see that, but it's like.
I'll tell you, attractive gay people, attractive straight people, feel free to show me your fucking. Everybody else who's not an 8 or above, I don't want to see it.
Mind your own fucking business.
That's what I'm saying. Mind your own fucking business. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have standards.
That's right.
No uglies fucking in front of me. Them's the rules. So Higby called Obama the Muslim who was born in Kenya. Well, we know how he feels about Muslims. Don't even get me started on that. He later added, Harvard up in Boston, he put up his friggin' application that he was born in Kenya. Claims that Obama was born in Kenya or that he forged his documents are false, which we know. Well,
yes.
Some of us know. Joe knows that, too.
Yeah.
You know that, yes?
Well, he had a, it had to be. I mean, he looked every which way to Sunday.
Well, Trump has some very good people working on it. He'll be giving a press conference any moment. Anyway, remember that one? if you've taken any benefit, if you've elected to take any benefit from the government at any given time during any election cycle, you do not get to vote at the subsequent election, he said. Because now you have people voting for a living. They don't have to work. And if,
job. Where the...
Nobody likes to fucking vote. And if you want to solve them now, it's very hard to get something like this passed. I'll be honest. But if you pass something like that, what else you would see is you would see people who aren't contributing to the system, not voting for the system. You'll have a massive slide to the right in this country. Now, what I'd like to say is, since this guy's out of a job, I have a strong feeling he will be on government assistance soon. Because when you look at this resume of who's and hints, who the fuck is hiring this guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's
going to be tough.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. You know, I guess that all those seniors that are taking Social Security should not be allowed to vote either.
Or the handicapped.
Or Medicare.
Or the veterans. I mean, they're getting government assistance.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That was the broad stroke.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're an idiot.
I am not a fan that this guy had a government job and was being paid with our tax dollars.
Nor am I.
Joseph?
What I think happened was he worked on the Obama... He worked... Obama. Really.
Don't you fucking dare. You'll die on that hill.
He worked on the Trump campaign, and they probably saw that he had a good background in military leadership and working on certain things. And what probably happened is that in politics... the fast-track people, mm-hmm. and sometimes the overstep really...
Yeah, but when you're a proponent of hiring the best people and extreme vetting, and you got... it wasn't just a Facebook post that somebody dug up. This is the greatest hits of douchebaggery.
It could have been somebody that was... You got to understand, he's not... You know, he is going on recommendations that staff bring up. All right, if staff brings up, you know...
But he says he's the best. You can't... if you can't say... You can't say you're the best at everything when this is on the fucking resume. If he... You know, like, if he didn't say stupid shit like that I'm always the best, and this having a... All right, well, there was a fuck-up.
Sometimes you bring in people that you think are going to be the best for the job, and sometimes... Have you ever hired or fired people?
Yes, but never with this resume.
All right. However, that's stuff that's not on the resume.
You're here because I fired people.
But still, there is funny.
It's true. It's
I know.
It's true.
But it's still, sometimes you bring in people.
And they did not have this on the resume.
And in politics, you bring in people that I think that are going to be for the best, you know, the best for the job. And on the outlook, when you bring it in, you're forming a staff, you see that. And then they dug up this stuff after he got in. And it turns out.
You were outraged that Obama used to go to the church of Reverend Wright. I remember that outraged you. And you're giving a pass on this from the guy who says he hires the best? I can't let that stand. Because if Trump didn't always fucking brag about hiring the best.
Is he still on staff?
Well, the guy resigned. We don't know what would have happened.
All right. Well, we don't know what happened. But
we knew he worked on the Trump campaign and he was on staff for a year.
Right. And that's the thing. He was on staff.
CNN found this. See, it wasn't like the Trump administration. Oh, fuck, boss, you got to listen to this. CNN found this shit. This guy could still be getting our tax dollars.
But the thing is, they had to do an investigative report to do it. You're trying to build a staff, and you get the guy in the staff.
Joe, you go for a job. What are some of your hobbies? I do a radio show. Somebody might want to poke in and see some of the things that Joe Curry does if he's going to be in charge of something very big that represents us. Somebody might want
to
see.
You want to know something? They might go onto the page, and depending on, you know, how quick they build a staff, they'll go on and they'll see my bio and go, looks good enough.
No, but I'm saying if I'm hiring you for something important, I might want to poke into a couple of shows.
A little bit more than just surface.
Yeah, and it seems like it's not too hard to find this guy being a racist douche. It seems like it was, you see, like if
this
you
is dip, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you
like,
didn't
if you
skip
dip
over
on
the...
one on any one show for us, you might catch any of us saying something stupid and bad and go, oh, well, you can't. But this guy had a try. It's not like every week you're saying awful things.
Well, this wasn't just like he had one bad day.
No.
You know, or a bad week or something. He just goes on and on and on. And with he has quite a body of work here, you know. But the thing is this is not the only hiree that has had problems. I mean, you know. He had his, you know, guy hiding in a bush. You know, you got another guy over here.
You know, this is Trump was pushing the pedophile guy. I mean, you know, this doesn't happen in any other administration, in my opinion.
Not this egregious.
No, this is bad.
Yeah,
this is like
bad.
Supporting the pedophile guy. It's like red flags. It's like some shit's easy. It's like, you know, it's like I said, if you find one stupid thing or two stupid posts on social media from 5 years ago and it got by, go, all right. I mean, it sucks. They should have done a better job of vetting, especially the extreme vetting guy. But this was this guy's calling card. He wrote a book. Where he espoused his views.
Well, I mean, just the fact that Bannon was there for as long as he was.
Yeah.
You know, and he, the kind of things that he spouted.
I think it sends the message, again, that to white supremacists, that you can be part of mainstream America now. Because guys like this, awful human beings like this, are getting good jobs.
Yeah.
And Trump never spoke on this. That's the problem. Trump still hasn't spoken on this.
I would feel a lot better if he said, you know, oh, no, this we didn't know. And oh, my God.
I'd feel a lot better. And it's not this president because he wouldn't do that. But
no.
I think a real president would go, you know what? I saw what we had on this staff. I know the buck's supposed to stop with me. And on some level, it does. I was not aware of this. But I will tell you this. The person who did hire me and give this position, that person is in trouble, too. Because,
yeah.
You know, I trust you. And my administration stands for something better. I said we're going to hire the best people. And they've not only let me down, they've let you down. This will not stand. He's not that guy. And that's why so many of us hate him.
But not saying that
right.
says that I thought that he was still one of the best people.
Right. That's the
and
problem.
Then what the fuck?
That's the problem. Because this guy can never own up to shit. That's why so many of us. Like, we're very. Americans are very forgiving.
Yeah.
But he never owns up to shit. All right. So that's that. Overall, I'm glad he's not in government anymore.
Yeah.
We all glad?
Yeah, he's writing books now.
He was writing books
then. Yeah, I'm glad he's gone.
All right. Let's, where's my fucking school?
Glad he took out the old he took out the trash himself.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, how are you going to stay? I guess he could have stayed. Where the fuck is it? Joe, where did you put that? I'm blaming you.
See?
Yeah.
He only hires the best people.
All right. A 19-year-old student from New Jersey has been expelled from the University of Alabama after posting racist videos where she repeatedly used a racial slur. Harley Barber, 19, was also booted from her sorority, Alpha Phi, after posting the offensive videos on social media account.
Harley Barber sounds like a biker hairstylist.
Funny. Not ha-ha funny. But
not ha-ha funny, like clown funny.
Like the guy at the bar trying to be funny. Funny. The actions of the student do not represent the larger student body or the values of our university, and she's no longer enrolled here, the school's president, Stuart R. Bell, said. I don't care if it's... So Barbara said, I don't care if it's Martin Luther King Day in one video, before repeating the N-word several times. I'm from Jersey, so I can send the N-word as much as I want, adds Barbara.
Can I take a moment to just mourn... Oh, my God. Jersey people, get it together.
Well, we're both from Jersey. Don't we?
I know.
Isn't that like part of being in Jersey? Like, you like Taylor Ham and you get to say the N-word as
no.
much as... Those are the things.
No.
Bruce Springsteen, Taylor Ham, and the N-word as much as you want. That's our birthright, no?
Yeah, none.
Oh.
None of those.
Oh.
Oh, none of those.
So wrong. That's not the case.
By the way, that's all South Jersey.
Okay. Barbara took a different tone in an interview on Wednesday with the New York Post. I did something really, really bad, according to the Post. I don't know what to do, and I feel horrible. I'm wrong, and there's just no excuse, because you got caught.
Do ya?
I'm going to say something controversial here. That's what I do. I don't think the school should have expelled her. I don't think she should have been expelled from the school. I think she should have come back. She should have fucking dealt with the repercussions. She might have wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody knows what she did. Let her face the music.
I think that the larger community knows what she is, and she's going to face the community there. But they have a school has a reputation, and they don't have to say we're going to still provide an education to this person.
That's fair.
Because you have to apply to get in.
I just feel
they can throw you out.
I agree. I understand. I don't agree though, because I feel the lesson is much. It's much easier to learn the lesson when it's in your fucking face every day.
Mm.
When you got people from all. Ethnicities in your fucking face going, what is wrong with you, you stupid bitch? You're either going to fucking do a lot to atone to show people you've changed, or you're going to leave, or you're going to get daily ass beatings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. I would have kept her.
You want to know something? I think the school will get by fine without her.
No, Joe.
after her feelings about wanting to be in the sorority. I wanted to be in Alpha Phi since I was in fucking high school, and nobody fucking understands
fucking...
how you both...
That's her quote.
Yeah, motherfucker.
That's her quote. That's her quote.
Where is it? Show me the other one.
I wanted to be an Alpha Phi since I was in effing high school, and nobody effing
I wanted
understood.
To be an Alpha Phi since I was effing in high school, and nobody fucking... how much I love Alpha Phi.
She's
an effing dope.
She needs to go, my friend.
The sorority means effing everything to me. She
needs well, I think the sorority was right to get rid of her.
All right, fine. The school, I think she needs
too.
To go.
Yeah, no,
she
I think
needs
she's
to go.
She's right. A terrible representative of anything here. I just love how she was like, I get to say whatever I want. I don't care what day it is. N-word. Oh, you little
thing is,
bitch.
Is like when I was reading that, he looks at me like, you got to relax with that. Really?
Yeah, look
at
like, it. Really?
And then his hat almost flipped off his head when he read that. Yeah, she needs to go.
I know. It's a
yeah,
quote.
She's stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. Stupid entitled little
yeah.
thing. You know, I'm glad. I'm glad they threw her out. That's just ridiculous.
So we'll take our final break. It'll be a quick break.
Quickity.
On the break, we'll hear some DJ Combo with his song See It Through My Eyes. DJ Combo, See It Through My Eyes. You can learn more about DJ Combo at khb-music.de.